family, welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. I am your host. My name is Mr. Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Today's going to be a quick show, not too long, but we're going to have a very good discussion about this whole Amber Geiger trial. But what we're going to do first, family, we're going to take that quick commercial break, and we'll be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. And I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
What's good? It's the melanated god, your man, Jared D. Fineness. And right now, I want you to check out my brand new street album, The Black Code 2. It features my brand new single, Match My Vibe.
Only I don't have a specific type. I'm just particular about the things I like. So if I'm shallow, I'm easy in my eyes. And most importantly, she gotta match my vibe.
Visit www.jareddfineness.com and cop the Black Code 2. It's Black Empowerment Warrior Class music. For real!
If you like super-powered black ninjas, and if you like comic books, check out the new comic book that's featured on Kickstarter called Sankara. Now, this is from the creator of Void Beast, Mr. Matthew Jones. And this character is very interesting. Sankara, the character, is taken to a new land where he's taught to live by their ways, but everything is not what he seems. If you want to know more about this story, go to Kickstarter and support Sankara. Also, follow Matthew on Instagram at Akachi Jones. That's AKACHIJONES. Check out a brand new book called The Anatomy of a Corporate Lynching. This is by a brother named Charles Ford. And in this book, he takes us behind the scenes of his public copyright lawsuit against his employer, Con Edison. This book, he doesn't change any names to protect what he calls the guilty. He talks about how he stood his ground legally against theft and racial discrimination. So check out his book right now, The Anatomy of a Corporate Lynching. It's available worldwide on Amazon, paperback, and on Kindle right now. And find him at authorcharlesford on Instagram.com. Check out blackstarsurvival.com. That is a black-owned website, which is America's go-to website for outdoor urban survival and tactical products. They have everything you need, be it ammunition, body armor, firearm accessories, parts to custom build your AR, or to upgrade your Glock, survival gear, self-defense items, military surplus, camping needs, anything you need to survive in case of an emergency, and if you just want to be prepared. So again, go to blackstarsurvival.com. Listen up, family. On Code Clothing is officially the uniform of this black empowerment movement. We've empowered so many for so long. Now it's time for us to make our empowerment the new global trend. On Code is a brand that's exclusive and it's not for general consumption, you dig? You got to be codified to even appreciate this thing of ours. So get fly with OnCodeClothing.com. And don't forget to use the coupon code HC5 at the checkout to save an additional 10% when you purchase two or more items. The discount is limited, so take advantage while it lasts. Go to OnCodeClothing.com.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolution, or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines. Now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I gave him the blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
I say, whoever threw that paper, your mom's a hoe.
What's going on, family? We're back. Welcome back to Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host. I am Mr. Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in, family. Today won't be too long of a show, but we have to get down and speak about what went down on the Amber Geiger trial. And before I do that, I hope everybody has their Hidden Colors 5 DVD or your Hidden Colors 5 stream. You can stream it right now. You can watch it right now at HiddenColorsFilm.com. That's HiddenColorsFilm.com. Either get the DVD or stream the movie right now if you don't have it. And if you're overseas, hit it on Amazon. You can get it off Amazon, ladies and gentlemen. But let me get right into what's going on today. As you know, this week they had the Amber Geiger trial. It's been going on for a couple of weeks. And the verdict was handed down, was it yesterday? I think the verdict was handed down yesterday, a verdict of guilty. There was a guilty verdict, and that surprised a lot of people. She was guilty of murder, but I told people, let's not celebrate too fast because we got to see what the sentence is going to be. We got to see what the sentence is going to be. And yesterday, if you follow me on social media, I was telling people there was a lot of mammying going on in the courtroom. The judge, Tammy the Mammy Kemp, some of her little moves were kind of funny style. Just allowing the castle doctrine thing. That was a real funny style move. Now, she did this before they found Amber guilty. Now, after they found Amber guilty, there was a lot of Negroes talking about it was a chess move because she allowed the castle doctrine so they wouldn't come back on appeal. But that castle doctrine, that could have just gutted the whole case. Let's be very clear. Miss me with all that. It's checkers. It's chess, not checkers. It's a chess move. Bullshit. She was trying to throw Amber a bone because this woman, Tammy the Mammy, is in line with law enforcement. They give her a big bag for being elected. They gave her some donation money, so she's clicked in with them. So miss me with that whole, this a chess move. Whenever somebody does some coonery, niggas want to pretend it's a damn chess move. Now, we got to know who these Tammy the Mammies are. She's all clicked in with her sorority sister, Renee Hall, who's down there in Dallas, that mammy-ass chief down there. They always get a mammy or a coon police chief in these cities where there's vile white supremacists on the police force. They use these Negroes as front people. Do not be fooled when you see a city with a black police chief. That's just a spook sitting by the door. They're very good at using these tactics. But Tammy the Mammy is down with the police. Don't be fooled. She's in there doing a lot of grandstanding, rolling her eyes at certain things, and just mammying it up. So right there, I knew something was funny style with her. See, these Negroes will play both sides of the fence. But we know what the deal is. So after they found Amber Geiger guilty, the sentencing phase, you know, that took a couple of days. So everybody was waiting on the sentencing phase, and there was another mammy in the court yesterday. And if you're watching me live right now on YouTube, some of you guys are listening live on different radio outlets or iTunes, but I have an image on the screen of one of these Negress police deputies. She's rubbing Amber Geiger's hair. That confused a lot of people. While the cameras were rolling, this black female deputy walked over to Amber Geiger and started fixing her hair and rubbing on her. And people were confused. And I told people yesterday, I said, this was deliberate. I said, the white supremacists, they are orchestrating this. they sent her to go do that on camera. They sent that Negro deputy. They told her, they instructed her to go do that. I've been looking for that deputy's name too. Somebody in the chat room said, what's her name? Trust me, I've been looking for her name. We need to know who this mammy is right here. With no edges, with her scalp pulled back. Who's she? We need to know who these Negroes are among us with all this mammying. And I'm like, this is orchestrated. And I want you to, you notice the white man sitting right there, if you're looking at this picture? That's this woman's supervisor. Because I've seen video of him kind of instructing her to do this and do that. So that's her supervisor. So she's doing this right in front of her white male supervisor. She was instructed to walk over and start fixing Amber Geiger's hair. This is after she was convicted of murder. And this was a dog whistle. The dog whistle was, we got to be lenient on her because these images were going to get back to the jury. Understand, the jury, they watch social media. Stuff gets back to them. Stuff gets back to them. So they're trying to send these messages with their Sambos and their mammies. She's in there primping and petting on this woman. And the jury was deliberating. The prosecutors pulled up some of Amber Geiger's old text messages. They pulled up some of her social media, which we've been circulating around. We've been circulating Amber Geiger's social media for a while. We've been telling y'all how much of a goddamn white supremacist she is. And basically, they confirmed everything. They pulled up some of her old racist ass posts online. Then they pulled up her racist text messages. See, the defense tried to explain that the social media post, well, you know, somebody else could have had access to her account. I mean, they were really explaining about that social media stuff, but nobody had access to her text messages, and her text messages were very racist. She was mocking Dr. Martin Luther King. They were her and her racist partner, who she was having a sexual affair with, who he killed somebody too. They were mocking other black officers. That's the thing that's killing me. All you Negroes in here doing this horse and pony show for the blue badge and the blue wall, and these bastards are sitting up behind your fucking back talking about your stupid asses. These people, Amber Geiger is sitting up talking, her and her dude are talking about how black cops ain't shit, and y'all sitting up here caping for this fool. So I'm like, boy, they really, these Negroes are really, really putting in some work here. So the sentencing phase, well, not the sentencing, yeah, the actual punishment phase, you know, that was taken a couple of days. So they exposed that she's a confirmed white supremacist. So the defense today, they had to find some Negroes to be her character witness. And because Amber Geiger is a hardcore white supremacist, most white supremacists don't really have any black friends. So what did they do? They got a crackhead, literally a crackhead that Amber, quote unquote, met at a drug raid. They raided a crack. You can't make this stuff up. You can't make this up. LaWanda Clark. This was the crackhead's name. They went and found a crackhead that she arrested and gave a citation to. I think she arrested her, but I know she gave her a citation. So they gave a crackhead mammy. They got her on there talking about how Amber, when Amber raided the crack house and gave her a summons to go to court, that made her change her life. And then she went, Amber Geiger went to the crackhead woman's graduation from the crack rehab place. I mean, I'm dead serious. When I said that the woman was a crackhead on Twitter, people thought I was bullshit. No, this is a crackhead. This is a crackhead. They put a crackhead on here, a black crackhead. Now, with crack, crackheads don't know who or where they are. And that's not to give an excuse, but I'm going to get on that in a minute, because certain things we need to get rid of black society. One thing, all these fucking crackheads and drug addicts in black society. See, like I said before, I talked about the Inquisition. How certain people, black society, there has to be an internal Inquisition. We gotta purge a lot of bullshit out of black society. It's too much bullshit that we accept. These crackheads, all these drug addicts lingering around, these people are just useless to black society. I mean, let's just keep it 100. We're already at a social disadvantage. We've just normalized all of these little crackheads running around and all. It's a normal thing. This is why I don't laugh at that type of shit. I see a lot of videos circulating of crackheads dancing and singing and crackhead women. That's just not funny to me, because I know how devastating that is on a family and just a community. So they get the crackhead on here talking about how Amber gave her some encouraging words to go get off crack. And the woman looks like she just hit the pipe this morning, and they probably paid her in crack. So they know they're Negroes. They know how to get certain Negroes. They know who to get. And shout out to Dallas. Dallas did the best they could do under the circumstances of white supremacy. And then they got another Negress on the stand. I don't even know if she was a real friend of Amber Geiger, but this was a woman who was another cop, another black female who was a cop. And she was a Kenyan immigrant. So she's up there caping for her. And again, this is why I'm hard on a lot of these immigrant coons. See, it's bad enough dealing with domestic coons, but when we have to deal with immigrant coons like that, because see, the crackhead is on crack. I get it. They'll do anything for crack. But this damn Negress cop knows better. She knows better, and she knew what the hell she was doing. See, a lot of these immigrant coons, we're going to have to come to the reality. People think that I'm hard on them, but I have to be hard on these immigrant coons, because they've been collaborating with these goddamn white supremacists against us for the last 500 to 600 damn years, and it's a fucking problem. It's a goddamn problem. And if folks don't like us speaking out about it, well, do something about your fucking coons. Because she got on there with a straight face and a clear mind and threw black America under the bus by caping for this racist, genocidal bitch. That type of shit's going to have to be purged from black society. We cannot keep on letting these goddamn coons, bedwinches, mammies, crackheads, all of these folks, it's always the same pool of people undermining us. So you had the coon fest on there, and then they had Botham John's family on there, and this was before the sentencing, and I'm like, they have them on here too long, because they keep talking about church and Jesus and Christ and God and church and Jesus. I said, I knew that was a bad idea. I knew it was a bad idea having them on there that long, trying to talk about how great Botham's life was. That's cool, but there's a nonverbal message being sent with them on there talking all that church, Christ, God, Jesus, church, Christ, God, Jesus. That gives the message of forgiveness. That's why the defense, they probably didn't mind them being on there that long. I knew that was a problem. That family, Botham John's family, on there with all that Jesus talk, they were on there too long, and they allowed them to be on there. The judge allowed them to be on there. They knew what they were doing with all that Jesus talk. I'm like, get them off the damn stand and let's get to the damn sentence, because what they're doing, they're trying to be on some sympathetic thing. What they're saying to the jurors is, if you are lenient on her, we'll understand, because Jesus would have wanted that. So when the sentence came down a couple of hours ago, they gave this woman only 10 years. And the jury went back. And remember, the jury, it's 7 non-black and 5 black folks. I think, what's the make? I know it's 5 black people. I don't know if these black people were ADOS or not. I don't know. I know it was the rest of them were white, Asian, and Hispanic, which means white. Don't let nobody fool you. I've seen a couple of coons. Well, it was mostly a minority jury. No, it wasn't. It wasn't no damn minority jury. You had 7 people on there white aligned. I want black folks to get this in their heads. I've heard several Negroes sitting up here talking about there were a bunch of people of color on there. It was a bunch of people. Ain't no people of color. Y'all better understand these people ain't people of color with you. You think if you holler people of color, these people have some type of camaraderie with you. None of these people have a camaraderie with you, black folks. This trial is a lesson. See, we need to look at the lesson in this thing. We need to look at the lessons in this. Somebody said 5 black, 4 Mexican, 1 Asian, 2 white. Okay, that means 7 white people. Do y'all understand that? I really want y'all, if you're black, understand what we're telling you. If there are 4 Mexican people, 1 Asian, and 2 white people, that means 7 fucking white people. Do you understand that? That's 7 white people. No, they're Mexican ain't white, nigga. As you see, they are. They're team white supremacy. The Asians are team white supremacy. Get that through your goddamn heads, Negroes. It's 7 white people on there. Y'all holding out for some damn people of color camaraderie that doesn't exist, fool. Get that through your goddamn heads. So now they came out and said 10 years for Amber Geiger. And I've said before, when a white supremacist, especially in law enforcement, when they kill a black person, they don't get no more than 10 years. That's kind of a common law unspoken rule. If they get convicted, they never get more than 10 years. I would like you to find a case anywhere where a white cop has gotten more than 10 years for killing a black person. I would like for y'all to look up a case. So Amber got those weak ass 10 years. She'll be able to do half of that. And not only that, she'll be eligible for parole in a couple of years. So that woman might just do 2 or 3 years in jail, if that, because understand, another judge can come along and just overturn that if they feel like it, if they find some kind of loophole with all these forgiven Negroes. So that woman could be out in a couple of years. And the problem is too much mammyism. Let's go back to the judge. Now, this is after the sentence. The judge was up there crying, and the judge up here hugging her. When the hell have you seen a judge hug a convicted murderer? Can y'all show me any type of case where a judge went and hugged and consoled a cold-blooded ass convicted murderer? She's up here hugging this woman, Tammy the Mammy. It was Mammy Fest up here today. Tammy the Mammy was up here trying to secure her butter biscuits, giving the wink and the nod to the police association that she's still on the team. This woman ain't shit. And if she's up for re-election, the people of Dallas should make sure her mammy ass should be out the door. Now, they're going to probably still try to slip her a bag on her way out the door. But Tammy the Mammy has to go. We got to stop playing with this type of shit right here. And I would be remiss if I didn't just bring up the obvious. Botham Jean's brother. Did you see Botham Jean's brother? Botham Jean's coon ass brother, after the verdict, this nigga went over there and asked the judge, could he hug Amber Geiger? Let me talk to you for a minute, family. Listen to me. And let's be 100 about this. Botham John's family is a family full of coons. The Botham John family, his family is a family full of goddamn coons. This is disrespectful coonery. Now, these are immigrants too, by the way. Now, we have our coons. Domestic coons are one thing, but these foreign coons take it to a whole different level. The foreign coons take it to a whole different level. Your brother was murdered in cold blood by this woman, and you up here hugging her, thinking of butter biscuits and white pussy. Look at this nigga's face. That's what he's thinking about. Oh my goodness, I gets the hugs up on a white woman. She smells so good. The mayonnaise smell is so good. This nigga looks like he's in the sunken place. Now, some people will say, well, Tariq, you shouldn't disrespect Botham John's family. They lost a relative. They grieve. Their family don't even respect Botham John enough to not hug on this bitch. The family don't even respect Botham's life or memory enough not to be hugging up on this damn racist bastard. Botham John's family, a family full of coons. Let's just keep it 100. We don't have to respect them. You don't respect the memory of your own family members, and you don't respect the ramifications of this trial. There's ramifications behind this trial. We got to understand the larger picture in trials like this. When they give cold-blooded white supremacist killers like this slaps on the wrist, that incentivizes more of them to do more of the same. So you're putting a green light and target on every other black person. But these niggas are so coonish, so buffoonish. What's more important is you getting your white hug. You getting some kind of white approval. And it almost looked like the family might have got a bag, too. And that's another thing. These desperate for money niggas, I mean, they dangle a little money in your face. I almost feel like they got a bag. I almost feel like somebody kicked them a few extra dollars to show some compassion. For this nigga to do this much of a display, you going up here hugging this person who just murdered your brother. Nigga, you're disgusting. You're a disgusting Sambo coon. And let me tell you something, black people. Anybody in your family who does this to your killer, somebody kills you and your family member is running around hugging and kissing on them, they're a disgusting Sambo coon mammy too. Because you damn sure don't do this when a black person does harm to you. If a black person steps on your shoe, you going to elbow their ass and body slam them. See, this pisses me off because, look, I'm out here risking my life fighting these fucking white supremacists. If we going to fight white supremacy, we got to fight. We got to go in. We got to go all the way in. We don't get right to the finish line and then all of a sudden it's butter biscuit, kumbaya, hug me mammy in time. When I see this type of shit, I'm like, what the fuck I'm risking my life for? You out here, we fighting for folks and fighting for justice, and all we see at the end of the day is a coon fest. We see Coonchella. It's just a cornucopia of cooning. This is damn ridiculous. Family, let's be real. There's a lot of people who are addicted to white supremacy. And again, a lot of these people from other places, especially, because they really put extras on it. And again, it's the same crowd. Notice it's the same folks we see doing little dumb shit to undermine black society. It's the same pool of people. Number one, the Boulé crowd, which is that judge. Remember, that judge is all clicked in with that Negro Boulé crowd. It's always them, Tammy the Mammy. The second type of person, some Negro crackhead somewhere that's on the pipe, but that'll do anything for a hit. And then coon immigrants. It's the coon immigrants who's doing shit. Those are the main culprits. Let's be real. Those are the main culprits doing this shit. And that is a problem in black society. Because black people, too many black people, they've made white approval more valuable than money. They've made white approval more valuable than money. Just getting that hug and letting white people know that you're still on their side. Yeah, you killed my brother, but I'm still on your side. Let's let bygones be bygones. See, a lot of these folks who come from these non-ADOS countries, see, a lot of them, just like that Kenyan bedwench who got on the stand and the Bokum John family. See, these people, you grow up and you come from a culture where you literally worship white people. The minute a white person shows up, it's like Jesus showing up. So they worship white people on a whole different level. This is why most of those MAGA Negroes are these Caribbean and African immigrants. A lot of these MAGA Negroes are some of these Caribbean and African immigrants. And I was talking about Kenya not too long ago. Over in Kenya, they had a white man dressed as Jesus driving around in a car out there, and everybody's praising him. You understand? There's a whole different level of the of foreign cooning that we can't fathom. That's why we can never get any kind of real Pan-Africanism going, because of the blatant coonery, the white worship. They want white people to hug on. We're not going to get nothing going on in the Caribbean with this type of Negro running around. Somebody just kill your brother. You all in court hugging on him. We're not going to be able to build with this Negro here. And we don't need to. We don't need to. See, this is why on a grassroots level, we need to stick to what we're doing, focusing on foundational black American issues, focusing on foundational black American codes of conduct. Because the white supremacists, they know how to pick and choose certain Negroes to put them in certain positions. Understand, these judges, people like that, they've been screened. They screened these Negroes and they've already secured a bag with them. So they're already on the take. They screen them in their sororities, their fraternities, the Boulé, the Lynx, all of those people, they've already been screened. That's why these random Negroes pop up in these certain positions. And don't let me get on the so-called other people of color that was on that jury, the Hispanics and the Asians, because family, I really want us to get it in our heads that you have no allies. There was another case a few days ago where some Mexican dudes walked up on a brother. I think he was in, I want to say Arizona somewhere. I forgot where he was, but he was taking pictures in the park. Some Mexican dudes walked up on him and just start bussing on him. And they gave the Mexican dude some real weak-ass charges. And the brother who got shot, like, why they do that? I was trying to be nice to him. Why they walked up to him calling him a nigga and all this stuff. He like, don't call me no nigga now. Then they just start bussing on him. And he like, if you see him, can you ask him why? I just want to know why. I was nothing but nice to him. Can you ask him why? Ask him why. I've seen a lot of Negroes say that. I've had a lot of black people hit me up and say, Tariq, why are white people doing us like this? Man, Why are they like this towards us? If you don't shut your fool-ass coon mammy mouth, who gives a shit why? When I see a nigga talking about why they act a certain way, who gives a fuck? My job is to protect myself and my community. Who cares why? See, y'all looking for an angle to go in there and love the hate off of them. You in there trying to find an angle to love the hate. You just gonna show them all your Negro love. You bowing and scraping and praying and forgiving. Let me say something. A lot of these Negroes, and see, a lot of stuff we're just going to have to stop in black society. A lot of this overly Jesus praise that y'all niggas don't believe, I really wish y'all stopped that. Y'all ain't fooling nobody. You ain't conning nobody. All of that fake fucking Jesus talk and I was a good Christian, nigga, you a scared Sambo coon. When Negroes, the minute somebody white does something to you, all of a sudden you become the biggest damn Bible thumper. Now, when somebody black does something to you, you're like, fuck that nigga ain't shit, fuck that nigga, I killed that nigga, fuck that nigga. All of a sudden, when white folks do something to you, where the Lord, the scripture says that, you know, you love your enemy, I spill blood in Selma. Now, you talking like a Selma Sambo. But let's stop with the whole fake Bible-thumping Christian thing when the white supremacist gets on your ass. See, you use that as a cloak to hide your cowardice. And we cannot defeat systematic white supremacy with niggas up here hugging and rubbing on these goddamn genocidal white supremacist killers. This woman and her partner both killed black people, and they sit up bragging about doing things to black people and harming black people, and y'all sitting up here hugging and forgiving because you scared. And like our sister Dr. Welsing says, look, we need to first, before we do anything as black folks, admit what the problem is. If you are scared, admit you're scared. See, we come up with all of these mechanisms to hide. We try to hide shit. And y'all niggas who overtly thump that Bible, you're hiding the fact that you're scared as shit of these white supremacists. And what you're scared of, you're scared of losing access to white people. Especially these immigrant coons, because they come from countries where the white supremacists dominate them indirectly. See, they can dominate you from Britain and from some of these white countries. So it's basically all black faces you see all day. And you think the source of your misery is another black person. So when a white person shows up, usually they got a couple of nigga trinkets for you. So you associate white people with tangibles, gifts, trinkets, goodies. So white people come in playing the Jesus role. So they've been looking at white people as Jesus all their damn lives. So when they come over here, they're in heaven because there's so many good white people over here. And just because a white person then killed your brother, then shot your mama, well, it's okay. I forgive you because white people are Jesus to you. Your Jesus is white people. And deep down, you think you deserve that a white person should kill your ass. Deep down, you think that you deserve it. Let's be very clear. Deep down, you think you deserve it. And we can't build with niggas who think like that. We can't really build with niggas who sits up here and hugs on white supremacists after they didn't kill their family. I mean, you going out of your way to display how much you love and forgive. And Bolton's brother even said he don't want her to go to jail. How we going to deal with that? That's why I'm the whole Pan-Africanism talk is done. That's why I don't talk that shit no more. That's why that Pan-African talk is dead, dead, dead. Ain't no goddamn Pan-Africanism right now. That shit is dead. It's been dead. We've been the only one talking that and practicing it. We've been the only ones doing that shit. We've been the only ones doing it. And let me go a step further. And I hate that our brother Botham John got killed. I hate that that brother got killed. I'm out here fighting for justice for his physical being. But based on his family, I can see Botham John's ghost somewhere hugging Amber Geiger. Gotcha. Unfortunately, Botham's ghost is probably somewhere hugging this bitch. There's probably a coon ghost running around here too. I went there. Yes, I did. I went there. I hate to say it because I've seen pictures of Botham. He's all hugged up with these white women. I'm sorry. I went there and fuck it. I went there. There's a coon ghost somewhere hugging up on Amber Geiger too. I'm sorry, but I had to say it. Because if Botham, the ghost of Botham, if your family's coonish like this, I don't see the apple falling too fucking far away from the tree. Unfortunately. And you didn't deserve to die, brother. You didn't deserve to die at all. You did not deserve to die at all, brother. We're out here fighting for justice for you because this affects all of us. But shit. Nigga, your family are doing the most with the coonery. My God. This is how coonish some of these folks are. The coonery is on another level out here. And again, I'm fighting for justice for that, brother. And we got to understand how this trial, it resonates in society. Because again, this is still sending a message that harming a black person, you still have a green light to do that. So black people, this has to further get us to be codified. Foundational black Americans in particular, we further have to campaign for financial resources. That's the only name of the game. We have to fight for reparations and resources if we are to participate in any politics. We shouldn't participate in none of that shit unless there are direct tangibles for us, because the reason why they can have a Tammy the Mammy and all of these coons getting on the stand doing the bidding for the white supremacists is because they get a bag. The white supremacist gives them financial resources. And because we don't have financial resources, they're not going to do our bidding for us. They're not going to show a camaraderie with us. This is why we got to get tangibles and we got to know how to spread that money and throw that money around. See, this is what getting on code is, because if we get on code, we'll know what to do with our paper. So then when they put a crackhead on the stand, what we can do, we can use our resources to get our own bag of crack to get her to do our bidding. If you want to do crack, fine, but come over here and smoke our crack. We'll and do what we tell you to do. If you're going to be a crackhead, at least be a useful crackhead to black society. That's how we got to do. If you want to smoke crack, we could have had a D-boy throw her a sack to get on the stand and say Amber ain't shit. You understand? We better get on code for real, for real. And the code is all about empowerment. We have to look at how this stuff is going to resonate to black society. Because there's white people out right now. They're mad that she got them 10 years. There's still, there's a Facebook page, Justice for Amber Geiger. It's a bunch of white supremacists. They're upset that she got the 10. What's a lot of folks in here right now? Shout out to everybody in here. If you... all the new people in here, y'all need to follow me on Instagram. My Instagram is at Tariq Elite. Almost 7,000 people in here right now. Everybody, as a matter of fact, while you're here, hit that thumb. Hit the like button, ladies and gentlemen. Hit that like button for a player. And then hit the subscribe button. You dig? But the mammyisms, all of the mammyism that we saw in this trial, this is one of the reasons why they were so lenient. When we go into a situation like this, black folks, we got this thing where black folks, you get in a room full of white people, then all of a sudden you become chicken shit. You become scared. You start having a plantation mentality. Stop being afraid when you get into a room full of white people. You better learn how to take over the room. You better go in here and learn how to stand up for yourself and stand up for your damn community. And all you niggas out here, if you that much of a self-hating coon, just tap out. But again, with this Amber Geiger thing, the way Negroes in there hugging on her, this judge is shameful for hugging up on this woman like this. That's sending a message that she shouldn't go to jail, period. I would be surprised if she actually went to jail. To be honest, I know for she's definitely, she's not doing no goddamn 10 years. She's not doing 10 years. And the way these niggas are in here samboing and mammying, man, this thing could be overturned in a couple of damn months. The way these niggas are acting, man. So we got to understand black people. What's more important? Is justice important? Or are you selling out your damn family? Does your family have a price? And we've seen this multiple times with the guy up there in the Bay. Not the Bay, not because I always say Bay Area, but I think it was Sacramento. What's the guy's name? Devontae Clark, whatever. What was their names? The brothers up there in San Francisco. Let me be clear, because I said the Bay before, and the Bay Area always say, hey, these niggas ain't from the goddamn Bay. So my Bay Area people, they always correct me. They're like, do not put these niggas on the Bay. The town ain't got shit to do with these niggas. But that Sambo up there, Devontae Clark, yeah, Stephen Clark and all those dudes, his brother got shot in the, he's running around buck dancing. Do you love me? All that old buck dancing until he gets a little bag. And then all of a sudden he's, let's calm down now. Yeah, Stephen Clark, exactly. But we have to have enough self-esteem to be on code to produce justice that will replace systematic white supremacy. Because deep down on a subconscious level, when we have white supremacy on the ropes, see, black folks could have really, really set a good precedent with this case here. We could have set a good precedent with this case here. We got to the halfway mark. Well, just getting her convicted, that was okay, but now we needed to throw the book at her to send a real message. But let's be real. Deep down, there's a lot of Negroes who like the fact that the white supremacist takes care of them. See, a lot of Negroes look at society as a big old treehouse where we get to play, we get to drink, we get to smoke, we get to dance, we get to party. And the good white folks, white mommy and white daddy, they live over there in the big house. And they get to take care of all the bills and all the electricity and all the rent. They get to take care of all the heavy lifting. So we get to just be perpetual children. We get to be perpetual kids. And a lot of black people feel that way. A lot of black people, when you're about to dismantle certain sectors of white supremacy, that plantation spirit kicks in and niggas start forgiving and, oh Lord, don't hurt mommy. You don't hurt my mommy. Don't hurt my daddy. Because how will I eat without mommy and daddy? Especially these coons who come from these countries where there's a bunch of coons that have basically destroyed the government. They won't get on code where they're from. So they damn sure remember how it was when white mommy and white daddy wasn't there. See, they came from countries where you rarely saw white mommy, white daddy. So they don't want that again. So when we start talking about destroying certain sectors of deadly white supremacy, some of these foreign Sambos come in and they really start undermining us. Let's keep it real. Let's look at the dynamics of that. That's why whenever I do the Hidden Colors films, most of the people who are critical of it are these foreign coons who come over here. And I'm not talking about the ones who live in their countries. Again, there's a lot of brothers and sisters from their countries. They're cool, but I'm talking about over here. Over here, they coon screen. They only let coons over here for the most part. For the most part. They try their best to make sure coons get here first. And some of these coons remember what it was. They remember what it was like when white mommy and white daddy wasn't around and how corrupt the Negroes were. They were like, oh, damn, if only I could get a white mommy and a white daddy, because whenever white people come over to your country, they go to Uganda or Kenya, whatever. They come over and they're building a bridge. The white people come over, they're building a dam. The white people come over, they got a truck full of food. So white mommy showing up, especially the white women, they really like this with white women. Notice all this hugging and kissing on the goddamn white women, because the white women come over there as missionaries. They come over there with flu shots and shoes and, you know, they come over there with deodorant. They come over there and just give you all types of goodies, and they fake hug on you and fake like you. So you look at the white woman as just being God incarnate. And these Negroes, they sit up here and want to get with a white woman so damn bad. They come over here and get around these white women. Remember, they don't. When they come over here, they don't use negative words for white women. I've never heard any of those immigrant coons come over here and use negative words for white women. Now, black women are all types of akata bitches and akata this and akata that. They got all types of negative words for sisters and black folks, but no, not for Snow Bunny Becky. They don't have no negative words for them over here. I've yet to hear them use any negative pejorative words towards them. You dig? You look at the picture on the screen. Look at this nigga's face. This nigga's transported out of his body. He's in heaven hugging up on this killer. This woman who just killed his brother. And he's sitting up here. He's in Negro coon heaven. You understand? Negroes have to learn the hard way. Negroes from all these different backgrounds. And speaking of that, Stacey Dash. Stacey damn Dash. Stacey Dash, she was in a domestic situation with her white zaddy, her alleged alt-right husband. Many people think he's connected to the alt-right. He's a lawyer, by the way. This suspected white supremacist husband of hers, they got into it. His white children basically jumped on her dumbass. She called the police and then they arrested her. How's that bed winching working out for you, Stacey Dash? And remember, Stacey Dash, her background, she's Bayesian, black, and Mexican. You understand? These people will put themselves in harm's way because of their own internal issues, and they'll put black people in harm. The white supremacists will try to prop these Negroes up to be the spokespersons, and Stacey, after her usefulness has been gone, I mean, they've thrown her to the curb. She can't even afford a lawyer. Do y'all know that? She's down there living in Florida, can't rub two nickels together. Zaddy ain't giving a shit. His white stepkids are calling her all types of names, jumping on her, and she has no money. She has to get a public defender for a lawyer. She can't even afford a lawyer. See, this is how cooning works. There's no severance package for cooning. There's no severance package for mammyism and samboism. There's no retirement plan for being a goddamn coon. You can't pass down your coonery. See, we got to stop doing the same shit over and over again that doesn't work. Cooning doesn't work. All this stuff that we saw in the courtroom, this doesn't work. Getting your individual butter biscuit, which ain't even much. Niggas ain't even getting much. You're not even getting much out of it. But just the satisfaction, and you got to hug up on God. And that's what these Negroes think. They think these white supremacists are God. And you better get that shit out of your brain if we are to replace the system of white supremacy with justice. Because like I said earlier, anytime we start talking about targeting white supremacy and replacing it with justice, when I do my movies, Hidden Colors, it's these immigrant coons and Sambos who are the main ones talking down on it. The bed wenches, they're the main ones talking down on it because they understand all of us getting on code, doing what I'm doing, which is unapologetically going after these white supremacists and trying to replace their system with the system of justice. Well, damn it. He's attacking our God. If you see anybody who don't like me, usually it's a coon, domestic and foreign, or a bed wench or bed buck. You dig? These are the ones who usually attack me for doing the Hidden Colors films because that's a direct hit against white supremacy. And they don't want that. They don't want us talking about black empowerment. Leave Zaddy alone. See, these Negroes have become pets of white supremacy. And again, black society, we got to have our own type of inquisition like they did in Spain. I talked about that the other day when it was time for the white people in Spain to get on code and fight the Moors. They had to get the white people on code first. That's why they had an Inquisition. The Inquisition was simply to get all the white people on code. Don't you fuck with the Moors. You better be a Christian, meaning white. If you're not a white Christian and we catch you, we gonna torture you. That was them forcing them to get on code. That's how serious they were because they understood they needed to be on code for survival. They needed to be on code for survival. And in black society, we got too many people who are going out of their way to undermine us. The Negro LGBT crowd, they try to undermine us. The Boule crowd, like this Mammy Judge, Tammy the Mammy. The foreign coon crowd, they're trying to undermine us. The Bedwinch crowd, they try to undermine us, see? And see, we need to understand where all of this undermining is coming from. We have to understand that and we have to dismantle that while we're in the process of dismantling systematic white supremacy, family. You understand? This is why foundational black Americans, we got to stay on code and it's really up to us. Ain't nobody else going to dismantle white supremacy. The only people who's going to dismantle white supremacy are anti-racist sexual foundational black Americans. I'm going to say that again. Anti-racism sexual foundational black Americans. We're the only ones who's going to do this thing. We're the only ones who's going to do this. Notice the description. I'm going to describe that one more time. Anti-racism sexual, meaning black folks who are not promoting an agenda that's going to sexually undermine black people, like that Boule crowd, like the Boule crowd. That Boule crowd, they get paid off by the LGBT lobbyists to push a lot of things that undermine black society. Let's be very clear. And some of these other crowds, they do things to undermine black society. So anti-racism sexual foundational black Americans are the only ones who's going to really dismantle systematic white supremacy. So it's up to us to stay on code and remain on code and to get others like us on code. And the code is the leadership. Anyway, y'all, let me get up out of here. Go to HiddenColorsFilm.com right now. to get Hidden Colors 5. Share that. Watch that movie with your family. Those are some of the first steps to get on code. As a matter of fact, you can watch and stream Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, as well as the movie 1804. You can stream all that right now at HiddenColorsFilms.com, ladies and gentlemen. All right? And also, everybody, if you have not followed me on Instagram, follow me on Instagram right now. Buck Breaking, we're going to go into production for that soon. Speaking of anti-racism sexual, that's another thing, family. Buck Breaking, I got to really get on that heavy, because the agenda, they're targeting our children. I'm starting to see school books now. It's getting real crazy right now as far as them trying to buck break us. And they want us buck broken. So when we see little cases like this, basically the warrior class will be subdued, because the warrior class is going to have on a sundress and some booty shorts. So this is what they want. They don't want a warrior class. This is why they're trying to undermine us sexually. You understand? They're buck breaking us right now, and there's a reason, and we have to understand that. But anyway, guys, go to HiddenColorsFilm.com. Go to Instagram at Tariq Elite. Follow me, and I'm a holla.